Today we're going to talk about walking in faith, and more specific, how to be happy as you're growing in faith. Many times I've seen over the years people step out, or if I can say, leap off a cliff in the name of faith and totally miss it and crash. I remember one time when I was young, we had a preacher come through and preach how God is a healer. And so if you want to receive your healing from God, you need to prove that you have faith and you need to throw away your medicine. And it was a few days later, after that preacher had moved on to another city, we had heard a report that someone in our church had thrown away their essential medicine and had passed away. Because they had heard a truth about God have already providing healing, they tried to step out on someone else's instructions instead of allowing God to meet them where they were at and to walk them more into the fullness. And for all of us who have unanswered prayer, like you will have, if you have, you might have unanswered prayer in your life, whether in your healing, in your health, or in your finances, in seasons of hardship, where you can wonder, what am I doing wrong? Why is this not working? One of the greatest things that's happened in the last generation, the revelation that God has already provided everything of victory for us, that we're no longer trying to earn healing, earn deliverance, earn provision, that we receive it because Jesus has already paid for it. We're no longer trying to get God's attention to give us something. He loves us so much that He's already provided the way for you to have it and for you to receive it. So it can seem, when we have unanswered prayer, things aren't working like the Word promises, that we can self-reflect and self-blame ourselves. There must be something really wrong with me. I remember looking at the scripture about the faith of a mustard seed. Faith is like a mustard seed, and that seed is the smallest seed that there is. And I remember thinking, man, I'm just so horrible. I have no faith. I don't even have the faith of a mustard seed. That's how bad my faith is, that I thought I'm just such a loser. But in understanding that principle, that faith can grow from the smallest seed to the biggest bush, that you can overcome anything if you don't give up and you don't blame God. Because when we stop blaming God, it makes us look at the areas that we can grow in and change. And that's why we confess, pray in tongues, and stand on the Word of God. But the one thing we never do is we never give up. We get up every day and we face our problems. We face the world in faith. We make our mind, our words, our life align with the Word of God. And that makes us able to walk through any challenge into victory. But what I don't want us to do is get defeated and discouraged so much that we try to leap ahead or jump off a cliff to say, God, I'm going to prove I have faith. When I managed the Bible college in Tennessee, I was sometimes I was a dean, sometimes I was the administrator, a teacher, overseer. And every year we'd get a new crop of students. They were first-year students. That's what we called them. And after a few years, we discovered that after a good, sound faith sermon, that the students every year, the first year, the new ones, would, without fail, every year, would get up in the prayer line, and they would grab their glasses, and they would hold them up to God in the air, and in a statement of faith. And then they would throw their glasses on the ground, and then step on them and crush them to prove, God, I'm believing you for my miracle, for my new eyes. And we would have problems with students, first-year students, because they were all broke. They had to pay for Bible college and find jobs that let them go to Bible college. So they didn't have a lot of money, had to pay rent. So they couldn't afford new glasses, and some were very stubborn in their faith and refused to get glasses. And we had them walk in the walls. We had one of them drive across the street right into a building until finally they wore down and got glasses. One man I know got so excited about faith, believing for new teeth, that he took out his dentures and threw them into the river. And he went a year or so without teeth because his wife wouldn't let him buy new teeth until he saved up for it, because it was so foolish. It was foolish faith, or we can call it presumption, presuming that if I leap forward in faith, if I take a leap forward, then God's going to catch me without instruction. And there's a big difference between leaping forward or leaping off a cliff in faith and taking a step of faith. See, when faith builds inside of you, it pulls you forward. It draws you forward to take a step where you may not even know it's possible, but you know that God is pulling you forward. And that's the type of faith that will take you into victory, into the impossible. But taking a leap of faith can end up in disaster and discouragement. See, Jesus will come and meet you where you're at. Even if you're not there yet in your faith, you can trust that if I keep investing into the things that cause my faith to grow, then I will get there. I may not be there yet. That's not guilt. That's not punishment. That's not a bad thing. You should be happy that you're still alive. You're still moving forward in God, and happy and excited about the possibilities that nothing can stop you. Because Jesus will come and meet you where you're at and then walk with you to the fullness of your victory. We don't want to be the person who fails because we're trying to prove we have faith. One lady I know, she had went to an auction, and there was some nice land that she wanted to use for the gospel. And she didn't have the money, but she put her sign up until she won the auction. It was $100,000+, and she didn't have any of it. And so the rule was you had 1 month or 30 days to make the payment in full, or you would be fined. And so she said, well, God will provide, because I'm going to use it for the gospel. And I've heard testimonies of other people who God has provided for. And the word of God says that I'm above and not beneath, I'm the head, not the tail, that I'm a child of God, and God has already provided for me. Well, after the 30 days came and went and she didn't have the money, it didn't show up, she was fined and embarrassed. And I've made embarrassing steps too, not to that extreme, but trying to navigate where faith is. And for many of us, it's when we see someone in a wheelchair and we think, well, if I pray for them, I should go pray for them. Maybe if I just pray for them, maybe it's boldness that I'm lacking. One service, I had a thought that my lack of boldness was the reason I didn't have a great miracle at that time. And there was a man in the church, and I was the preacher at this church, and he had no leg. He had lost it, I think, in the war or in an accident. And so he only had one leg. And so he came up, and he said, I'm believing for a new leg. And I said, well, praise God, brother. We're going to believe right now for a leg to manifest. And I had that poor man hopping on one leg. I took his crutch and threw it aside. And we're going to be bold. And I thought I was trying to be bold. And I was expecting a miracle. It wasn't that I didn't expect it. But see, expecting it is not the same as having faith. And that's why we want to be led by God into steps that we take in faith, because if God leads us, he'll never lead you to take a step of faith that's going to fail. Even though it may feel like it, circumstances may speak against it, the truth is when faith is in you and is cultivated and grows to the place that it pulls you forward and God pulls you forward into something, you're not going to fail. It's got a purpose and you're going to win. So I want to read out of Mark chapter 10, if you'll turn with me. And we're just going to read a few verses, but you know the story of blind Bartimaeus. We'll just start in verse 50. Jesus was walking by with his disciples, and blind Bartimaeus was yelling out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus walked right on by him. He didn't stop. He saw, just because he saw a man with a need, didn't make Jesus stop to go and meet him. And I remember being taught about faith that God is not moved by our needs. He's moved by our faith. And our faith is what captures the answer that God has already provided. So Jesus was walking by, and the disciples tried to quieten him. Shh, quiet. And he got louder and more persistent. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And finally, Jesus stopped and said, bring him to me. Be good cheer. Bring him to me. He said, bring him to me. The disciples said, be good cheer. He's calling for you. And we'll start in verse 50 of Mark chapter 10. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabbi, that I may receive my sight. Well, that tells you something right there, that Jesus didn't assume anything. I have a rule in my ministry when I have a prayer line that if someone comes up in a wheelchair, that I don't simply assume they want to get out of the wheelchair. I have to ask where their faith is at. And so I ask them, what do you want me to pray for? And it's because of this verse. Jesus didn't just assume. It was very clear that he was blind and eyesight would be great. But he asked him, maybe to hear where his faith was at, but he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? What is it you want me to do for you? We just don't assume. Jesus here was asking him, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. And this is another powerful statement. Jesus said to him, not I have made you well, but your faith has made you well. See, that's how we want to walk, is when faith begins to pull us forward, we'll be like blind Bartimaeus. We can't accept anything else but what is pulling us forward. Blind Bartimaeus was not going to be quieted that day. He was going to receive his miracle, and he was not going to be stopped. Not because he was trying to prove he had faith. He was being pulled forward by faith, and it caused him to make actions and do things that caused the miracle. And Jesus is clear, your faith has made you whole. Jesus will meet you where your faith was at. Years ago, the economy went really bad in America, much like it's happening right now. And I was receiving a lot of teaching letters from different preachers. I was running the Bible college, and I was using those TV preachers as examples, sometimes what was good, sometimes what not to do for the Bible college students. And every one of them, I was very embarrassed, very saddened. When the financial crisis hit, I was very saddened because every one of those preachers wrote me. I was on their mailing list, and wrote their mailing list and their followers. And every one of them, I can't think of one person who didn't do it, said, now is the time to be faithful in your giving. Now is the time to be faithful with your pledge. Don't stop now just because there's a crisis. In other words, don't stop now just because you're starving. You must keep giving in faith for God to provide. Recently, one of my favorite preachers, Gary Carpenter, put out a video, and in his statement, he said, if you don't have money for food, you need to feed your family first. And see, that's what those preachers should have said. Hey, I appreciate your donations to me every month, and I appreciate your giving throughout the years, and even your pledge to give so much. But if you go through a rough patch and you're having a struggle, I am releasing you to follow your faith. And if your faith says, I need to keep this money right now to feed my family, to get through this season, then that's okay. That's okay. You don't have to try to prove you have faith for God to provide. Because if it was coming from within you, you would be good to give because you knew that God was your provider. But if it's not coming from within you, We don't want to step out and fail because we're trying to prove we have something. It's okay to happily walk where you're at because you can have confidence that Jesus is walking with you. If it's in your health, in your finances, if it's in your family situation, whatever area of hardship you're going through, where you can see in Scripture that God has already provided, but you're not there yet, you can have confidence that, number one, Jesus is coming to you and saying, where is your faith at? One of the mistakes that preachers make, someone will come up for prayer or call for prayer or write for prayer or ask for prayer for people and say, hey, I'm having a surgery tomorrow. And I'd like for you to pray that I have a successful surgery. And many times people will make mistakes and say, well, we're not going to pray for a successful surgery there, brother. We're going to pray that you don't have to have surgery tomorrow. And praise God, the Word of God says that you're already healed. And they began to testify the truth of the Word of God. But what the mistake they made by preaching the truth was they didn't preach it in a way that the person can come to that. They took it and hit them over the head with it and totally discouraged the faith that they did have. See, they had faith for a successful surgery. So it's our job to come in alignment with that faith, in agreement with their faith, while we're in alignment with the truth of God. And we can pray, Father, I thank you that they're asking for a successful surgery. So, Father, I'm in agreement with their faith that your word says they're healed. So we are accepting that the surgeon will have the best night of sleep. He'll be the freshest. It'll be successful surgery. They'll take care of whatever needs to be done. And praise God for a quick recovery and a miraculous recovery in Jesus' name. See, there I met that person where their faith was at. I didn't override their faith and say, well, you should be like me. You should stand in victory. And that, again, is where some people can make a mistake, is trying to put their faith in another man's testimony. See, testimonies are great, but your faith can't be in someone else's testimony. A testimony of someone's victory can encourage you not to give up. It can encourage you that what God did for one, he can do for you. But your faith cannot be in that testimony. It must be in the Word of God and what comes out of you aligning with the Word of God. I remember when I was, 18, 19, I went snow skiing with some friends of mine who were at the same age. And we went to this mountain in Alberta, Canada, the Rocky Mountains, called West Castle at the time. And we went off skiing, and I was a beginner. I had skied a little bit. And if you don't know what skiing is, you put on these little sticks on your feet and you go down a hill, down a mountain. Well, this is the Rocky, Canadian Rocky Mountains. And the people, my friends that I was skiing with, were experts or experienced anyway. And so we got to the ski hill. We got our clothes on and our toques and our gloves and our skis on and our poles. And we got on this, they had a rope that you would just kind of hold on to, and you put something behind your rear end. It would pull you all the way up this steep, steep mountain. And you were scared to death going up the hill. And I got to the top of the hill with my friends, and we got there, and we went down this little path, and then there was a sign. And the sign said, warning, experts only. And there was a little signal that said double black, two diamonds that were black, double black diamond heel. And a black diamond heel, one diamond was for experts. A two diamond is for very advanced skiers. And there was this little path with a cliff. And my friends started to go down this path, and I stopped at the sign. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, what are you doing? I'm a beginner. What are you doing? And they turned back at me and they looked at me and said, don't be a baby. Come on, let's go. And they left. So they were going to leave me there. And I had to choose right then, either go down this little trail to the double black diamond advanced expert only hill, or turn back and spend the day by myself. So I ended up following my friends. They took off, and I worked my way down the hill, the slowest time ever, back and forth, and it was a steep drop-off skiing hill. But I made it. So we went up and down that hill many times that day, and I gained confidence, and I never became advanced, but I became brave. A month or so later, I had another friend who wanted to go skiing with me, and I took him to the same mountain, and I played the same trick on him that my friends did with me. And him and I went to the same hill. He was a beginner this time. I was the slightly more advanced skier. And I waited in anticipation as I went down the trail. And I turned back to look at his face when he read the sign, "Experts Only." Warning, experts only. He said, "Whoa, Alan, what are you doing? I'm a beginner and I have a sore knee. I don't want to hurt myself." And I looked at him and smiled and said, "Don't be a baby. I did it. So can you. Let's go." And I took him. He followed me down the trail. And within 10 minutes, that poor guy fell and I don't know if he broke his knee or did something and was crying in pain. I could hear him yell. I worked my way over to him and he was done. I had to ski down to get the rescue team. And it took me a long time because I was still slightly past beginner. And he spent the rest of the day in the hospital while I skied by myself and a few months in a cast, because he made a path on my testimony and we made a decision on what he could do by my experience and not on his own instincts or his own experience, and regretted it probably even till today. To my friend, 30 years later, I'm sorry. And thank God for forgiveness. Amen. And so we don't want to walk on someone else's testimony. We have to walk in our own faith that comes from within us, from our heart, not from other people's stories. And those testimonies are wonderful, and they're there to encourage you, and they're there to tell you what's possible if you don't give up, but they're not to make you feel bad, like, "I got it. What's wrong with you? You're okay where you're at, and God will meet you. Jesus will meet you where you are and walk with you step by step forward." Faith must come from within our own heart, be cultivated personally. Faith is a very personal thing. It's not a big corporate thing. Sometimes there's churches who make big claims, like one church says that we are a cancer-free zone. And that's a statement of faith, and praise God for that. But what they're saying to people who have cancer could be, if you come here, cancer will disappear. So people will travel to that church from all over the world expecting to walk in and cancer to disappear. But many people come and leave with cancer after they spent all that money. And I don't want us to use the truth of the gospel to bring disappointment and discouragement. The truth of the gospel is to bring hope, and not just hope, but a pathway. Pastor Dave Robeson always says, "It does no good to speak a truth without speaking the pathway from where someone is to get to where they're walking in the truth." And that's why we spend so much time at the prayer center talking about praying into the Holy Ghost, confessing the Word, meditating the Word, spending private worship with God, not just stepping out, because stepping out can seem bold. It can seem like this is the best thing to do, but you're going to hit discouragement if you're not being pulled by the faith within you and by the Holy Spirit leading you. I have been pulled by the Holy Spirit into many situations where my outward emotions were screaming in fear and terror that it's going to fail, but something in me kept pulling me forward where I couldn't stop. I was being led by faith, led by God, led by Jesus, led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to take a step where you'll stumble and fall. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to take a leap off a cliff and fall crashing to the ground. The Holy Spirit will only lead you a step at a time as you can manage by your faith in the truth of the Word of God. I want to read another verse. Let's go over to Oh, let's go to Acts verse chapter 21. And we're going to read about the Apostle Paul. Faith must come from within. It cannot come from without. Many times, people try so hard because they're desperate, because they're tired. I'm tired of living with this condition. I'm tired of living with this situation. I'm tired of living in these circumstances. So they get desperate and they try to corner God. They try to force God's hand. And I understand that desperation. I remember I was in Brazil. No, this was in Mexico. And I was preaching. There was a sweet elderly lady that came for prayer. And she was on her knees praying in Spanish. And I don't understand Spanish. But I knew what she was doing. She was begging God to heal her. And it was a begging God as in, God, I need you to come to heal me. And I had to stop her. I had to get her to stand up and say, you don't have to beg God. He wants to heal you. And see, as ministers, that's part of our responsibility as we represent God, is to have the goods to where we can help people. We can add our faith and God can work through us to help people to go further than maybe where they are. But it's not to bring them into guilt or destruction. I was in Brazil doing a week-long conference, and a man came up to me and said, Brother Alan, I've been in your services before, and I've seen many, many great miracles. So many great miracles in your ministry. But you've been here 3 days, and you have not shared one testimony of a miracle, and I want to know why. And I didn't realize what I had done, and I said, and I took thought for a moment, and I said, listen, there's no reason to give a testimony of how God uses me in miracles. If God or the people are not ready yet to receive that miracle, the only motivation would be to try to prove that I have credibility. But we want that credibility to be built on the Word of God, not on my testimony. I said, now, if God spoke to me to have a miracle service instead of a teaching service, then I would share testimonies to encourage people to believe for answered prayer. And sure enough, probably the fifth day, the Lord said, now I want you to have miracles. And every conference is different. Sometimes the miracles will come first and then the teaching. Sometimes the teaching first and then the miracles. But what's important is that we listen to the Holy Ghost. We don't just go out and act like it's the same thing all the time. So here's the Apostle Paul. We're in Acts 21. And he's on a walk and he's going to Jerusalem. God has spoken to him and he's being led by the Holy Spirit. And this thing happens to him. We're going to start in verse 11 for time's sake. Verse 10 of Acts chapter 21. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. So a prophet named Agabus comes down from Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into his hands of the Gentiles. Now when he heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. So this prophet came down and tied his hands with a belt and his feet and said, this is what's going to happen to the guy who owns this belt if he goes to Jerusalem. And he'll be handed to the Gentiles. And all of them in the service, all his loved friends, beloved friends, who love Paul, pleaded with him, Paul, don't go, because this is the prophet's warning you that they're going to tie you up and you'll get beaten. And Paul answered, verse 13, I want to pause here because this is the difference from being pulled forward by your faith and by the leading of the Holy Spirit versus trying to prove you have faith. See, when you're being pulled forward by your faith, God will ask you to go places, do things, pray for people, take stands in your finances that seem impossible, where emotionally it can seem hard and fearful or unnerving, but you don't have a choice because something in you is saying, you need to come, you need to come. Yes, you can choose to disobey, but you feel that pull forward that is so pulling, and the Holy Spirit is pulling you forward by your faith inside of your heart, that you take a step where maybe God will have you go pray for the guy in the wheelchair. But it's not to go pray for the guy in the wheelchair for nothing to happen. It's to go pray for the guy in the wheelchair for something to happen. He may tell you to throw your medicine away. It's not some preacher telling you. It's not someone else's story, but something in you only. And I'm not advising anyone to throw your medicine away. It may be to live by faith with your finances, to do something when your finances, when you don't, it doesn't make sense to quit a job, to do something. I remember hearing stories of a John G. Lake, who's Canadian, by the way. So I'm very proud that, you know, my brother, Canadian John G. Lake, was a wealthy man, and God called him to South Africa. And that guy sold all his goods, all his money, and gave it away. And then walked in faith to believe for the finances to take his family to South Africa. And at the time, it was by ship. And so he walked, I can't tell the story exactly, but they walked to go pay for the tickets. While they were there, before he got there, someone sent him money for the tickets for, I think there was 8 of them in his group, to travel. And when he got to South Africa, you had to pay a fee to enter in, a customs fee maybe, and he didn't have the money. So now they're in South Africa. They finally get there after so many months of traveling, and they land, and they're in line to pay for the fee, and they don't have money, and someone came up to him and gave him the money to pay for the fee. God told me to do this for you. And then they didn't have a place to live. He didn't make any arrangements. He just followed God. This was faith in him. And so as soon as they land, they get on to South Africa. A lady, I believe, ran out to him and said, "Are you a preacher?" He said, "Yes, ma'am." He said, "Well, God gave me a dream, and I'm supposed to let you stay at my house." Or I don't know if she let them stay at the house or gave them a house. But everything was provided along the way. Whereas if it was me, I always thought, well, rather than give all my millions of dollars away from my business, I'll just use that as my source and follow God. But this man was led to give it away and trust God every step of the way. Well, if you try to follow that pattern, you might crash and burn. If I tried to follow that pattern, I might crash and burn. And when God moved us out of Tennessee over to Tulsa, he told me after we had moved, because I always thought, there's no way on earth that I, Alan, would have that much courage to do something like that. I'm not tough enough. I'm not manly enough. I'm manly, but not manly enough to make that kind of step of faith. But yet when God told me to move out of my position in Tennessee and to move to Tulsa with no job, no income, no anything. And then after we made the move, he told me, "I don't want you to travel and preach. I want you to sit and pray and get to know me." I mean, it was for 2 years that I sat and prayed without income, without preaching. And all I'm good at is preaching. I can't fix tires. I'm horrible at salesmanship. I might be able to teach something. I don't know what. But, you know, preaching is all I've ever done my whole life. And I've always trusted God. And I realized in those 2 years, they weren't a happy 2 years. Let me tell you, it was the most miserable 2 years of my life. But I refused to disobey God. And what God did was he reached into the faith that was in me, and he led me by the faith that was in me to take a step to trust him, where my outward man was screaming for 2 years, you're going to die, you're going to die. We didn't die. You're going to fail, you're going to fail. We didn't fail. You're going to starve. We didn't starve. You know, we had our first child at this during that season, and I did refuse to let the yelling and screaming of my outward man pull me off of what my inner man was pulling me forward to do. It was contrary to any wisdom, and I thought I had faith, but I had just enough faith to trust God. And I look back, and let me tell you, it wasn't courage. And I can tell you, my story is tiny compared to a John G. Lake step of faith. But it's similar in the sense I can now understand that John G. Lake did not step out in faith because he was a great man of faith, a great man of courage, because he was a strong, manly man of God. No, he was being led by God by what was in him. See, and I was being led by God by what was in me. It wasn't a courage. It wasn't bravery. I can take zero credit for anything God has done for me. It's all him. And that's what faith says. I'm not deserving of anything, but yet I'm worthy because of the blood of Jesus to receive all things from God. And the faith that's in you can grow. And what I don't want you is you to be disappointed by the lack of answered prayer and start to put a mirror and look at yourself and say, if I was just stronger, if I was just better, if I was just more courageous, I would have stepped out. I should have prayed for that person. I was just embarrassed. I was just shy. No, if it was in you to do something, it would annoy you until you did it. You would be pulled forward to take a step, no matter what the circumstances. Some people are standing for their spouse to serve God, and their spouse is fighting serving God, and the circumstances look like nothing's going to change. Some people are believing for their children to serve God, and it looks like the more you pray, the further they're going. For some of us, it's in our finances at seasons, our health. And what I don't want is for you to feel discouraged or disappointed when you look at the Word of God and think, oh, I've got so far to go. I'm such a failure. I can't even believe for this much. I'm such a failure. I don't want you in discouragement, because the Word of God is never to bring discouragement. The preaching of the Word of God is never to bring discouragement. The Word of God is only to bring courage and encouragement from your inner man to say, yes, all things are possible. And if I don't quit, if I don't change course, if I stay on the path that God has me, God's not ahead of me at the answer. God already gave the answer to Jesus. Then he came to me and is walking with me step by step to give me a path that is as perfect as the answer itself. The path you're on is as secure as the answer is already secured. The victory is not in the answer prayer. The victory is, today I got up and I didn't give up and I didn't quit and I pressed in. I spent time building my faith, or letting my faith grow, so that tomorrow God could take me a little bit further. It is true that if you don't do anything, if you just sit there and say, okay, God, come and fix it, that you'll sit there the rest of your life. The faith in you must grow. And how do we grow? If you've been around the teaching of the Family Prayer Center, or Pastor Dave, or Gary Carpenter, or myself, or any good teacher, they'll teach you. Your faith can grow if you stay steadfast in confessing the Word, meditating the Word of God, praying in the Holy Ghost, worshiping God, and then get up the next day and do it again. Well, it's so dry, it doesn't seem to be working. Listen, it's working. God is with you. He's not way ahead of you. He's not at the answer prayer going, la la, I wish you would hurry up and just receive it. He has love for you. He has compassion for you. There's no one in the world like you. There's never been. So that's why you can't take someone else's story, their testimony, and try to make your faith line up with it. You can take their testimony and let it encourage you and let it inspire you to not give up. But you can't put your faith in that testimony. You must put your faith in hearing God and letting Him walk with you step by step. And that brings encouragement even in the worst circumstances. Even when things don't look good, the Word of God brings encouragement then, because then it says, this is possible for me. That can happen to me if I don't quit. That's God's plan to me. That's God's fullness of me, is that I'm healed, I'm whole, I'm provided for. My family is saved. My family's in heaven. My children are saved and serving God. They're in heaven. That's God's promise. I am free from sin the moment I'm saved, and I can mortify that flesh of mine, that natural body, and make it bow its knee. I'm not subject to give in to sin. I can overcome anything if I don't give up on God and I don't give up on letting Him lead me step by step. Many people look so far into the future, it seems impossible. That's never going to happen. When I was a kid, we would go to a place in the Rocky Mountains, and it was called Beaver Creek, I think it was called. And there's this beautiful lake in the mountains, and they had this one mountain called Tabletop Mountain. And from the lake, where you would camp in a tent, and you would look up, you would see this huge cliff. And I mean, it was a monster cliff. 1,000 feet or 1,000 meters high. I'm not sure exactly, but a huge cliff. And they call it Tabletop because the way the cliff was flat on top and then straight down. And you looked all the way up. And I remember our leader said, we're going to climb to the top of Tabletop Mountain. And I looked up that mountain. I thought, how on earth are we going to do that? And there was a path that went around the back. And it seemed like it was an impossible task to get to the top of the mountain. But sure enough, after half a day of climbing up the hill slowly, but we climbed slowly. And when I say slowly, I mean it wasn't straight up. It was a path that went around the back of the mountain. And you climbed up. And there were some steep spots and some hard spots, but nothing super dangerous. And that guy led us all up. We'd get tired, and he'd let us rest. And I remember one of the favorite memories was, out of the mountain, there was this water that came, like a creek, a little spring that came out of the mountain with the freshest water. I don't know how on earth water comes out of a mountain. I can't explain that. I'm sure someone can. But we filled up our water jugs there, and it was cold and clean and pure water. It wasn't from a creek. It was a spring that started right there out of the rocks. It was amazing. And we got to the top of the Tabletop Mountain. You can see for miles and miles and miles. And I remember climbing carefully over the edge of the cliff and looking down at our campsite. And you can just barely see the people. They were so tiny. And I never thought it was possible for us to climb it. Now, we didn't go up. The leader didn't take us up the steep part of the mountain where we all would have fallen off and died. He took us around a path that allowed us to get there safely. And that's what God will do with you with the faith on the inside of you, is take you around the path, and a path that you can manage. And you may think today, oh, I've got so far to go. But I don't want you thinking like that. What you need to think is, look how far I've come. If I've come this far, praise God, I can go the rest of the way. And we're not waiting on God to move. We're not waiting on God to have compassion on us. He had compassion on you and paid the price with Jesus laying His life down. The price for our victory has already been paid. But then out of the compassion and love of God, He comes to you and meets you where your faith is at this moment and says, my child, take my hand. Let's walk one step at a time. And you may look at your circumstance and say, oh my Lord, how is that ever going to happen? I'm never going to get to the top of that mountain. I'll never get there. I'm such a weakling. And He won't give you a, yes, you are weak, but I love you anyway. He'll say, tell your natural man to shut up and put your words out of your mouth into the Word, to line up with the Word of God. Put your hope in the Word of God to line up and say, this is where I'm going. This is what is possible. God has made the impossible possible for me. And then He loved me so much, He's come to me to meet me and walk with me all the way to the top of my victory. And the victory's already been paid. You can even see it. The price has already been paid. And there's a path that only the Holy Spirit knows, that He'll lead you step by step. Don't despise small beginnings. Don't despise where you are. You say, well, I don't know if I can pray. I got so much praying to do before that'll ever happen. I have so much confessing to do. I have so much Bible reading to do. I only know David and Goliath. I got so far to go. Well, tell your natural man to shut up, because that's not true. God will meet you where you're at and take you step by step into victory. Here's Paul being told by the people he loved and the people who loved him, don't go, because they're going to tie you up and they're going to beat you and they're going to hand you over to the Gentiles. And what does Paul say? Verse 12. Now when he heard these things, this is Acts 21, verse 12. And when he heard these things, both we and those from the place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. So now it's not even the prophecy, it's also his friends pleading with him, don't go. Then Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? So now you see Paul's heart is even breaking. So emotionally, everything in the natural is pulling him away from stepping forward into what God has told him to do. See, God would not tell him to do something if it wasn't in him to do it. This is how faith pulls you forward. It's not a leap of faith. God, if I do it, you'll catch me, because you don't want to be embarrassed. I'm so ashamed of so many preachers who, if you have faith, you'll give, and try to convince people to take a step of faith. And what they're saying is, take a leap of faith outside of your own financial belief and send money to me so that God will see that faith and provide for you. That's such a backwards way of doing it. And so many people, if you are disappointed and are confused about provision because of, well, we'll just call it bad preaching or selfish preaching, they may not know they're in error, but they're still in error. Then Paul answered, verse 13, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. See, this isn't Paul, the mighty apostle. This isn't Paul, the courageous. This is Paul, the humble, obedient man of God, saying, I have no choice. I'm being pulled by the Spirit. And if God's leading me into what you're telling me, I'm willing to go. If God's leading me into that, and I'll go back to my 2 years of not preaching and not working. And again, that's just a small, tiny thing compared to what the Apostle Paul went through and John G. Lake and other martyrs have gone through. But for me, it was very real, because your life is very personal and very real. And to me, it was very real. For about 2 years, God wouldn't let me preach. I begged Him to let me get a job. I knew that if I were to try to fix it, I would violate something on the inside of me. When I asked Him about provision, He said that was His problem to worry about. My job was just to obey Him. And I had times of fear and times of weeping in fear of, I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail my family. What kind of husband am I? What kind of father am I? But I refused to not obey the leading that God had led me into. That was God reaching in and seeing my faith and saying, all right, son, let's go. And my outward man didn't like it, but it had to follow my inward man as we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I would not wish my emotional battle that I went through in those 2 years on my worst enemy. It was horrible. And what was happening in those 2 years was my inner man was proven to my outward man that God was my Father. And now I thank God for that season. I'm so thankful for that season because it birthed something stronger in me that I never had before. And I didn't see it in me, but God seen it in me. And it wasn't me, it was Him in me. It was the Word in me. It was faith in the Word in me. And here the Apostle Paul's saying, out of crushing from his heart, from the love of his friends, I can't help it. I have to follow God because this is where He's leading me. And if what you say is going to happen to me, I'm willing to go and die, because the one thing I will do is follow God. And that is being led by faith in you, not the other way around, where you decide what your faith is and you give it. You do it because you think it's what faith demands. Faith demands that I do this, so I'm going to do it, praise God. And then you come crashing down one day and you wonder why. Faith is personal. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit and your Father do not want you destroyed. Do not want you discouraged. They want to walk with you. And they'll meet you right where you're at. And you may think you're way, I'm so far back, but you're not. If you're on the path and you don't give up and you get up every day, and if you have a bad day and you don't pray, you have a sad day and you don't read your word, get over it tomorrow and get back on. Today I'm going to pray. And if you prayed a little bit, hey, you prayed a little bit, your faith will grow. And I would wish I would go to the scripture about the faith of the mustard seed. Maybe we'll do that teaching another time. But for time's sake, you know, you just have to understand the illustration. Faith grows. Faith in you grows. And where you're at, my friend, if you have faith to be born again, that faith is already growing. And now if you'll spend time, let the Holy Spirit invest into that inner man through praying in the Holy Ghost, through private worship, through confessing the Word. See, those things, confessing the Word says, I align my mouth and my thoughts with the Word of God, no matter what circumstance says. The whole world can be crashing around me, but doesn't change the fact that the Word of God is true. So therefore, my mouth, my thoughts align up with the Word of God. And then we listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling us. And maybe He's saying, I need you not to give your money to the preachers this month because you need to feed your family. Maybe you lost your job, or maybe something happened, or maybe you got to take your medication. Who knows? And the Lord says, it's okay to take your medication for now. What? And what I did with those first-year Bible college students who hold up their glasses and throw them down and they would step on it and crush it is we started to assign ushers during the first few weeks of school. And they would stand on the front row and being prepared like in a starter block running position. And so they were instructed, as soon as you see a first-year new Bible college student lift their glasses up in the air, I want you to go and tackle that student and rescue those glasses before they throw them on the ground and crush them, because we don't want anyone walking around blind and crashing in the buildings. And they would rescue the glasses, and I would instruct them. Because you can get excited out of a testimony, out of preaching. But remember, we want to be led by the Holy Spirit in our steps of faith. A step of faith is a big difference than a leap off a cliff of faith. A step of faith is something where you feel the pull of the Holy Spirit pulling you from the inside and saying, hey, I want you to do this. Maybe you're struggling in an area and you're embarrassed about it. And you talk to God and all you hear is, I want you to make this change. I want you to, and it can seem subtle, like it's not a big thing. But what God doesn't want is for you to be like my friend, who I apologize again here 30 years later for pushing him to follow me down a double diamond expert only ski hill and breaking his kneecap. He doesn't want that. And I wouldn't tell the Bible college students, I say, listen, wear your glasses if you need them. But while you're wearing your glasses, listen to the Holy Spirit and keep confessing the Word and keep speaking the Word and keep reading the Word and keep praying in tongues. And what will happen is one day you'll be walking through the mall and all of a sudden everything will get blurry and you'll wonder, why is everything getting blurry? And then you'll take off your glasses and you'll say, oh, my glasses are making my eyes blurry because you received your miracle. You don't need to throw away your medicine unless you know it's God. You need to take your medicine until your doctor says, hey, your medicine is causing you problems. You don't need it anymore. See, that's a victory. God will meet you where you're at in your finances. How many people have been convinced by testimonies of other people and by stories and wrong scripture used wrong to send money, to give money beyond where their faith is and are now bitter towards God when it was never God telling them to go down that hill. It was just some friend of theirs or some preacher. Whereas if you listen, where God will meet you at is faith. That is faith. It's not a lack of faith. It is faith. And where God has taken us in a revival is to where we're all walking in unity with the Word of God in fullness, where we see miracles all the time and no one is left out. But just because we're not there yet doesn't mean we're on the wrong path and doesn't mean we're slow. We're going places that haven't been there. The church hasn't been for generation after generation, but we're going to get there. And once we get there, it'll be an easier path for others. I'm going to close with that. And if it's okay with you, I'd like to pray with you. And please continue to pray with me in this season where the world is in turmoil. Be encouraged. You're not alone. God is meeting you right where you're at. And what you hear, what you know is Him, that is faith. That's as much faith as a mountain, standing on top of the mountain. You say, well, I see this top of the mountain. I'm not there yet. Yeah, but your leader, the Holy Spirit, is taking you step by step up that mountain so that you don't try to get there too quick and fall and crash and get so discouraged you give up on God. My Lord, there's so many people broken because they tried to step out in faith. They tried to follow instructions that weren't meant for them. The Holy Spirit didn't give it to them. Man did. And they fell and they're broken and they're financially were broken and their family was broken. And their calling, their heart to be used of God was broken because they went out and did because something some man told them to do instead of taking the time to hear His voice and finding that God is right here with me. Man, He loves me. And He's gentle. The Holy Spirit is gentle with me. I can't believe how gentle and merciful and forgiving the Holy Spirit is and patient. And when I think He's run off ahead of me because I'm too slow, there He is right there walking with me step by step because He believes in you and He loves you and He knows that He's going to get you there if you don't quit. So before I pray, let's make a commitment during this season to invest more into prayer. They say during the big virus crisis that hit the world, Venice, Italy had to stop everything, all commerce. So all the cruise ships stopped, all the tourists stopped going there. And it said that after a few weeks, the canals in Venice started to clean up. And you can see to the bottom that because of all the pollution from the busyness of people and tourists and commerce, that was always polluted for like 30 years. People haven't seen such clear water. But in just a few weeks, wildlife started to come back in. The water started to clear up. Well, listen, that's what's happening to you when you slow down and you get out of the busyness of life and you allow yourself to spend time with God. Is all of a sudden things will start to clear up and you'll start to have a new vigor and a new heart towards prayer. And you might say, well, prayer's been hard. Confession's been hard. It's only hard when you don't see it as building faith, when you see it only as I have to do this as a duty. But you understand that during this season, man, there's so much of life that's clearing up and freeing up where you can go, I believe. I believe God loves me. I believe God has great things for me. I believe God has a calling on me. I believe that my victory my prayers, my needs are already answered, and that God is with me, the Holy Spirit's with me right where I'm at. And Jesus is going to walk with me, and the Holy Spirit's going to lead me from what's in me, within me. And what's within me is not bad. It's not slow. It's not behind. It's not tiny. It's monstrous. And it's the right path to get there if I just don't give up. So let's make a recommitment or a new commitment or refresh our commitment together, you and I, that we're going to take time to pour into our spirit man in prayer, in the Holy Ghost, in worship, private worship, confessing the Word and meditating the Word. And just with a hope that this is bringing victory for my future. Every hour I pray in tongues. Every scripture I confess. Every scripture that I read. Every minute that I spend alone with my Father. And I tell Him I love Him. I'm taking a step down that path towards the fullness of my victory. And then when the Holy Spirit says to me and pulls me into something, no matter how frightening it is or how impossible it is, I'm going to follow it because it's by the faith in my heart that He's leading me, not by a hope or a frustration or by someone else's testimony or someone else's command. It's from in me. And He must believe that I can do it. Otherwise, He would never ask me to do it. John G. Lake was not a man of courage. He was a humble man of faith. You are a humble person of faith. I'm not a man of courage. The more I go with God, I realize how much of it is really Him in me, not me, not anything I can do in the natural. It's all Him. Oh, what a beautiful thing. What a beautiful path. And enjoy the path. Enjoy every day that you're with Him. Every day I'm closer. Quit looking at the negative and celebrate the positive. Quit looking at how far you got to go and realize how far you've come. My God, you're on the way to heaven. Hallelujah. So, Father, right now, we make a commitment to spend that time investing into our inner man, investing into our spiritual man to allow that faith to grow. And we don't take lightly the small beginnings or where we are. We celebrate above everything that you're with us, that you haven't abandoned us, you're not disappointed in us, that you're with us and you're walking with us step by step. And that gives us courage to look at every circumstance we're facing and saying, I will not bow my knee to you. I will not be discouraged. I will not give up, because what's going to get us the fullness of the victory that you've already provided is that we don't give up on God's promises. Father, right now, I thank you that you're with me, but your presence is with my friend. And today is a presence of encouragement, of strengthening, of hope, of faith, of victory, of holding on to the victory that no matter what is on our mountaintop, whether it's healing our family, our finances, whether it's this turmoil that's going on, we know we're going to stand on that mountaintop. And one day we'll look down and go, wow, everything in the past seems so small. I thought it was so big, but it was so small. Father, I thank you right now that the presence of God is with us. And on my friend, all discouragement leaves, all fear leaves, and all that's left is love and excitement and hope for the future. Because, Father, you are walking with us. You believe in us. You've not given up on us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. We are so honored and humbled to walk with you every day, on the good days and the bad days, on the slow days, on the fast days. The one thing that didn't change was your love for us. Thank you for loving us that much. In Jesus' name, we receive your courage. Receive your strength. And Father, we are no longer embarrassed and shy about where we are. We're full of hope and love. Step by step, that you will meet us where we are. And you're not off in the distance. You're right with us. step by step. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been my pleasure, and thank you for spending time with me. God bless you.